review the doctrine of wine. Not too many opportunities do you have to contextually to address this doctrine, but we've had one, so we'll take a quick look at it here. Wine introduction. Wine is introduced in the scriptures, as we had seen, as early as Genesis 9, and then mentioned throughout the Bible. It is not an isolated occurrence in regards to the subject matter with respect to the scriptures. As we saw, this first mention in regards to Noah, determining to plant a vineyard for the very purpose of making wine. The biblical vocabulary indicates that wine was a beverage that contained alcohol. Again, in the funding world, confusion. People don't really know. They're not presented with the stark presentation of the languages in regards to the preacher's sermons and things of this nature. And so people come up and they have these excuses, what they call wine is really the fruit of the vine. They don't know what the hell they're talking about. See? And people fall for this. Believers are gullible. And it's their own fault because, and as it was for me, I mean, I grew up, that's what I was taught. But my gullibility comes about because of my lack of interest and zeal in regards to studying God's Word otherwise and getting an unsound doctrine and have somebody teach it to me. See? So, wine in the Bible makes clear that alcoholic beverages were a reality and present throughout Old Testament as well as New Testament times. And wine, indeed, contained alcohol, and people would get drunk from it. So see, the manufacture, possession, or drinking of wine is not denigrated by the Word of God. It does not condemn these things. In spite of the fact that, yes, it can be abused, but so can any other principle of Scripture be abused. Authority can be abused. Sex can be abused. But yet, these things are legitimate in their own places. And just because, you know, people fornicate, you don't have the legalists running around, well, people shouldn't get married then, or, you know, have sex at all, or whatever, you know. All the craziness out there in the world. And when you think the world can't get any crazier, Satan shows otherwise. he truly is a master in regards to manipulation of this world. And he has his main honchos in the human race that are following his agenda. And truly, in spite of, obviously, all the morose and bad aspects that are associated with the negative volition of humanity, we live in very exciting times. To see these things that are going on in the world, they're just more markers, more proclamations, more statements of the craziness and confusion of the world. Unfortunately, most of it can be brought back and focused on regards to our own country's participation in the meddling in other foreign affairs. Crazy. Just crazy. But that's all right. Because Babylon is alive and well. And it means we're just getting that much closer of God's plan being fulfilled with respect to our dispensation. So you have all this blind leading the blind out there, and believers are not immune to it, and believers are instigators of it in many cases, and it comes through the failure to orient to sound Bible doctrine and engaging in either legalistic or liberal practices in their thinking and applications directed towards their life and Christianity otherwise. and wine has been a target by legalists over the centuries. More so, really, in our time in history than you truly find recorded previous to that. So defundism has reacted to the abuses of alcohol and ascribed attitudes and prohibitions in regard to wine that the Bible does not advocate. It's better not to drink from the simple fact you might overindulge. Or if you don't drink, you're a better Christian than somebody else. I've heard that attitude in regards to even being single and married, and arguments in regards to Paul being single. And that, you know, to support the Catholic mentality of abstaining from marriage, etc., as priesthood. Oh, well, they can do a better job if they're single. No. They may have less encumbrance in their life in regards to fulfilling their ministry. That doesn't mean that they're going to be any more positive to do any better job. See. And so it is in regards to alcohol. It has been attacked, and the Christian banner is one of the main opponents in regards to its presence and use and consumption by people. The legalism, obviously, like most of you know, I came out of that background, not only within the denominationalism of church, but even within society of the United States, being in the Midwest and being in the Bible Belt. Heck, I lived in a town growing up in my life. No, it was illegal to have any place that sold alcohol, let alone, you know, people that might drink it. In fact, they couldn't sell cigarettes. Tobacco. This is legalism. And I don't even remember a movie theater being within our town. And Nazarenes advocated you shouldn't go to movies. I never figured that one out. I don't know what kind of movies they're watching, but I wasn't out for watching those kind of movies, so you know. You never know with legalists what they're doing behind your back. Those are some of the biggest hypocrites you ever run across in your life. But anyway, that got me going on that one there for a second. And even today, it has impact, as Oklahoma is still battling the way to legalize or lower the age in regards to drinking laws, etc. There. This is one of those things. I got back from Vietnam. Heck, I was only 19 years old. The drinking age there was 21 then. Trust me, nobody was going to stop me from going to get a beer when I wanted one. I don't care what bar I walk in. And I never was. And you just took them out your military idea. They always turn a blind eye. So, you know, what's going on? And you can go there and you can run around the jungle and have people shoot at you, but you can't have anything to drink that's going to stimulate your mind. See? Now, that's one of those ones that are still, you know, kind of burrowing under my saddle over the years. If you're old enough to go in the military, you're old enough to drink. You're old enough to make your own choices in life. Just like if you're old enough to get married, then you can do the same thing. But our laws completely askew divine viewpoint in regards to these things. And the logic, even, that's associated with it. And it's all because of the legalistic mentality. And again, obviously, we're not advocating the opposite end of the coin either, liberalism. It's just as rotten and bad in its own right. But self-righteousness dominates not only the Christian scene, but the worldly scene in many areas. And these agendas, their approaches, provide the majority of the problems that societies have otherwise in their lives. These restrictions in more modern times came from the so-called temperance movement, not from Bible doctrine. And of course, you get an intellectually honest, like a History Channel, reference regards to, you know, when our country tried to outlaw alcohol, mostly women that were involved in jacking up the old men, do it or else, you know, type of deal. But anyway, trying to make alcohol illegal, and obviously everybody went underground. And the very thing that the legalists were contending, you know, this will help crime and all this stuff, it built up one of the greatest crime scenarios that our country has ever known, called the Mafia. This is how they got their start, by taking advantage in regards to something else, something that otherwise should have been legitimate during the era, during the Depression and things of this nature. You know, you're down. The Bible says wine's good to lift your spirits and give yourself a little stimulation, a little relaxation. No, we're going to take that away from you too. No. Anyway. I must be getting close to Christmas. So I'm getting in those fundamental attitudes. See what's going on here. So the restrictions that we see is nothing more than fodder that has been provided by the legalists within the Christian society. Finding special interest power in regards to government and things of this nature. See. Many legalists advocate that drinking is a sin and at best makes one less than an adjusted believer. That's the first thing usually you'll hear them say, well, it's a sin. And then you show them with doctrine, carefully, patiently, no, look, it. Here it shows, well, it's still, it's better that you don't. I know alcoholics in my life. Well, so? If you're an alcoholic, well, then you ought to quit drinking. But doesn't cause someone else an alcoholic doesn't mean you're going to be an alcoholic. You know, the studies in regards to DNA, genetics influencing things of this nature, we recognize the presence of the sin nature. But the chemicals and all these things that they show and say, this is what's causing all this. You got to understand, what you have is simply a manifestation of the symptom as is scientifically able to be explained. It doesn't state, it doesn't prove that this is the cause. The cause is negative volition and disobedience to Bible doctrine. See? And hence, yeah, your body, what happens? Your body gets judged. And things occur in your body, just like eating of the fruit of the tree of good and evil. It changed our DNA, see. And then you can look at, well, look, this is your DNA or whatever genetics. How they would do it, I can't do it, obviously. I'm stupid. Hopefully, I'm one of the simple that can confound the wise otherwise, see. But we recognize what the real cause is. And the explanations, while they may be medically and scientifically accurate in regards to what is occurring, does not necessitate the fact that that's the cause, see. So, doctrine keeps us level-headed so that we don't fall into the traps of the cosmos and academia, science, and things of this nature trying to suck us in into the cosmic satanic rationalization that the world is constantly using as to why sodomites were sodomites, alcoholics were alcoholics, and all these other things. People may have propensities, but I know people that have strong SDA propensities that have overcome those propensities. See. So, it's a matter of will, a matter of application of doctrine. Yeah, sometimes it still gets the best of you. But other than that, so if anybody's got spare time, you can build me a new soapbox because I just feel like I'm on one tonight. But that's what, you know, this is what we're facing. Probably the exhortation is truly coming. While, you know, we here at Lake Erie, I recognize we don't really have problems with these doctrines. But it is still around us. And it's around us, and it's clashing, this legalism is clashing with all this liberal stuff that is now being introduced into our society, etc. And all this is doing is creating this turmoil, this chaotic turmoil, mentally, emotionally, morally. in regards to society, distracting everybody from all the underhanded, covert agendas that's going on in regards to our world and society around us. See. With doctrine, you clear the air. This is the doctrine. This is what it says. And keep your focus where it belongs in regards to your Christian life, recognizing then that all this stuff is nothing more than Babylon blooming. It is becoming the putrid flower in regards to our Babylon politically, prophesied in the Bible. See. To come to ranks and notoriety, if you will, of religious Babylon that's been around for centuries, the Roman Catholic Church. Doing our part while the Romans do their part. All right, Roman numeral 2. Vocabulary. In the Hebrew vocabulary, one, you have our Hebrew noun, yayin. Let's see if this thing will work again. By Jove. Y-A-Y-I-N. It's used 140 times. Our main word for wine. A fermented grape juice which contains alcohol and produces intoxication if taken in sufficient quantity. Two, you have our noun tirosh, T-I-Y-R-O-S-H. It's used 38 times, translated new wine. New wine. It's differentiated from yayin, which is your normal word for wine, fermented wine, always. It may be unfermented. This one, new wine, may be unfermented, pre-aged, as we would say. Though some fermentation may be present. So it doesn't always mean that it's not fermented. Hosea 4:11. Why we do word studies with our the study of the Bible, because you pick up on things that otherwise might be assumed erroneously. Hosea 4:11. Harlotry, wine, yayin, a new wine, tirosh. Take away the understanding. So new wine, obviously, can be fermented. Harlotry, prostitution, sexual deviance. It may not be a paid prostitute, but it is promiscuous sexual activity in view. That and alcoholic beverages can detract you and muddle your thinking and make you make stupid decisions in life when you pursue these things, etc. Three, you have the word mimsas, M-I-M-S-A-S, used 2 times, translated mixed or spiced wine. Good spiced wine that I've ever had is jalapeno wine. It's pretty good if you've not ever had it. As some great believers turned me on to that one time. And God didn't kill them, so I guess they were all right. Four, our word asis, A-S-I-Y-S, is used 5 times, translated sweet wine. Obviously, wine has conditions, culinary or palate conditions that can be very dry tasting to the palate or more, as we would say, sweet. Usually, as one ages in life, they develop palates, and their palate develops differently. Things taste differently. Whereas sweet wine might be that which serves your palate best to begin with, over the years you may start preferring a drier wine. See. There's an art to it, truly, in regards to the appreciation of it and all that's associated with it. I'm no connoisseur, so, but we know this otherwise. Five, you have renowned Shamarim, or Shamarim, S-H-E-M-A-R-I-Y-M. It's used five times. Translated, fine old wine with sediment that's called dregs or lees, L-E-E-S, and needs to be decanted. Decanter being a separate vessel which you take the wine from this existing bottle and you carefully pour it into it and you try to leave the dregs, the lees, in the original bottle and not let it get into the decanted wine. Otherwise, it affects the taste of the wine, gives it a tart, and will sour the taste. And the dregs are just minerals, etc., hard elements that are within the wine liquid and fermenting, and they will settle over years to the bottom of the wine bottle. I know port is famous for having dregs. It's one of my more favorite wines over the years is a good port. And some of these you let sit around, you want to let them sit for 12, 15 years before you even think about drinking them. If they're drinking too early, then they haven't fully blossomed in the taste. It affects the taste one way or the other. Or you can let them go too late. So people have to know these things. But the sediment that will settle down, those are called dregs. That comes usually from a wine that has been aged for many years. And as we know, there's some wines that their production is of such quality that they're still good some hundreds of years after being bottled. Wines that people pay literally thousands of dollars for one single bottle. And while we think we may be missing it, that's all right. Hang on to the millennium. Christ will turn us on. Six, then we have the word shekar, S-H-E-K-A-R. It's used 23 times. As we've seen, this word means strong drink, so technically is an alcoholic beverage besides wine. But is associated with it. So I'm throwing the word in here for the purposes of giving us a broader overview of the doctrine. It means strong drink other than wine containing high alcohol content able to quickly heighten drunkenness or numb the senses. Examples of its use, Proverbs 31:6. Give strong drink to him who is perishing, and wine to him whose life is bitter. The strong drink, higher alcohol content, able to numb the senses quicker. Obviously, for someone who is quickly depleting in regards to their life on their deathbed or that direction, you give them something strong. The movies always like to, here, let me have one more nip or whatever of that whiskey or whatever they have. Otherwise, in normal circumstances, one who may be just in a foul mood or whatever, undergoing pressure tests, might just sit back and have wine otherwise. But either way, you see the difference of emphasis in regards to the capabilities of the alcoholic beverage in view. Also, Isaiah 28:7. Those in reversionism running amok under their FCA unbridled. These also reel with wine and stagger from strong drink. One is a sense of maybe lightheadedness, dizziness, staggering. Obviously, now you've gone over the line. Big time. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are confused by wine. They stagger from strong drink. They reel while having visions. False teachers in their own right, pursue alcohol in their lives, running unbridled under STAs, and come up with some of the more imaginative types of doctrines otherwise in rejection of the truth. Again, why you got to keep things in balance, etc. Why priests were told not to imbibe. In other words, you take time out from drinking so that you can study and teach. So that's the general idea. And then the cognate verb shaker, S-H-K-E-R, A and E are reversed on that, means drinking to drunkenness, as we saw in regards to the event with Noah. B, then in the Greek vocabulary, one, our main word in the Greek is oinos, O-I-N-O-S, is used 33 times, translated wine, is comparable to the Hebrew yayin, this primary word for wine. Two, you have glucose or glucose, G-L-E-U. K-O-S, translated new wine. New wine usually is the sweeter wine, and it's glucose. It's comparable to the Hebrew tirosh. Then you have the noun oikera, sikera, S-I-K-E-R-A, sikera. Used one time, translated strong drink, liquor. Obviously, like shikar in the Hebrew. It's one use is in Luke 1:15. Regards to Zacharias having the vision of the angel of the Lord, preceding verse 11, etc. And people, he goes out and tells them, and people think he's drunk, thinks he's crazy. For he will be, verse 15, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord, he will drink no wine or liquor. Oh, this is regards to, all right, John the Baptist, their son, taking the Nazarite vow, excuse me. So back up. The verse where this is used, translated liquor, strong drink, is John the Baptist taking the Nazarite vow, of which there will be no wine or that's no nothing from the fruit of the vine whatsoever, or a strong drink, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit even out from his mother's womb. And that has to be explained, or it's taken out of context. Four, in our phrase enema, taste, ampelu, G-E-N-N-E-M-A, definite article, taste, T-E-S, and ampelu, in the genitive here, A-M-P-E-L-O-U. It means fruit of the vine. Fruit of the vine, that phrase is used three times, and it's only used by Christ in connection with the observance of the Lord's table. So that gives you the freedom in the ritual to, as long as it's the fruit of the vine, it can be fermented or unfermented, and it is a legitimate representation and symbol in regards to the blood of Christ otherwise. So, you know, any arguments, oh, well, you don't have real wine for communion, so it's the fruit of the vine. That's what Jesus says. All right. Roman numeral 3. As we know, the first mention of wine in Scripture is that of Noah's vineyard. The verses we just recently went over in Genesis 9, 20, and 21. Noah was, again, an expert of the soils. He knew the ground which he was working. He knew the kind of ground that would produce the great, the best kind of grape that he wanted to make his wine with. See, again, being having a successful vineyard, winemaking company, etc., demands that somebody that's associated with it knows what kind of soil that you need to have the best kind of wine, along with the weather and environment otherwise. It's not the rich, dark, rich soil that produces the best kind of wine. Often it is just dry, rocky, almost dusty-looking type of soil. And it varies, we understand. So all this came out in regards to our verses that we dealt with. Noah being an expert in regards to the soils and predetermining he was going to, he found the spot, plant a vineyard. And he does so. He drinks of the wine. His sin is he became drunk. And then he went in to his home, his tent, to have sexual intercourse with his wife as he uncovered himself. Genesis 9, 20 and 21. Noah, a mature believer, overindulged and became drunk. And it's the first record in the Bible of this sin. And again, the Bible doesn't rail on him for doing so. It just simply states it as a fact. And it became a situation of which an advantage of another SCA took in regards to the fidelity of his wife otherwise. So B, the scripture, however, does not support the contention that wine production is evil. Again, it's amazing, the commentaries. Ain't shouldn't have done that. All right, whatever. Hopefully you'll just be serving the red wine in the millennial table for the believers. And you don't have to indulge. You won't have to drink it with us. Think like that. Obviously, I'm being facetious. Hopefully sanctified. Deuteronomy 14, 23 and 26. If it's evil, then why does Moses tell the believing Exodus to go out? Verse 23, you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God, Deuteronomy 14, at the place where he chooses to establish his name, the tithe of your grain, your new wine, your oil. So they grew wine, fruit of the vine, which would be fermented, and they were to tithe it. And the firstborn of your herd and your flock, in order that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. And 26, in regards to going to town, then you may spend the money for whatever your heart desires, for oxen or sheep or wine or strong drink. You care for something a little stronger, a little Tennessee white whiskey or whatever. Well, fine. That's your palate. Or whatever your heart desires. See, those things that are legitimate. And there you shall eat in the presence of the Lord your God and rejoice, you and your household. You sanctify it just like you do anything else in life. Maybe you don't think about things like that, but you should. You're going to sit down and maybe have a get together and fellowship with others. Going to enjoy some alcohol, some good food, etc. You pray about it. See. Pray that everybody keeps their SCA under control in general and enjoy it and have a good time, good fellowship. So that's the first mention of wine, as we've seen, is in Genesis 9, 20 and 21. And we'll pick this up Thursday evening. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, continue to light to see things in Jesus' name. Amen.